This is a podcast for the ladies.
Yeah, yay.
But fellas, listen closely. You don't always have to fuck her hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to make some love. Fucking give her some smoochies too. Sometimes you got to squeeze. Sometimes you got to say please. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna fuck you softly. I'm gonna screw you gently. I'm gonna hump you sweetly. I'll fucking ball you discreetly. And then you say, hey, I bought you flowers. And then you say, wait a minute, Sally, I think I got something in my teeth. Could you get it out for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite position? That's cool with me. It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you. What's your favorite dish? I'm not gonna cook it, but I'll order it from Zanzibar. And then I'm gonna love you completely. But then I'll fucking fuck you discreetly. And then I'm gonna bone you completely. But then I'm gonna fuck you hard.
Hard.
We're gonna fuck the sodomites in the...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcastrophy. I am your host, Dick, and this is my co-host, Tyler. How you doing, Tyler?
Hello. Has anyone ever told you that you're the songbird of your generation?
No.
You just sounded like a combination of Jesus and Fergie.
Oh my God.
And I may or may not be erect.
I'm all jittery. I'm not used to singing.
I know. That's the first time I've heard you sing.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I don't know if I'm just like... like salivating and like my body is producing extra fluid, or it's just my ears are bleeding. I really don't know.
Oh, fuck. I don't know how to take that. But yeah, today is Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day. It's crazy that episode 25 just happened to fall on this day.
Mm-hmm.
By the time like the audio listeners listen to this, it won't be Valentine's Day, obviously. But they'll get to look back and be like, whoa, they had a good time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, this last weekend, our good friend Joe and I went to Fort Wayne, Sweetwater, and we just kept every chance we got or any time like we were going to say, oh, hell yeah. We're like, oh, hell yeah, man.
Well, that was a trip, unfortunately, I couldn't
I really attend. Wish you could have. I mean...
it's just an excuse for you and I to go by ourselves.
Honestly, yeah. Although I spent enough time there that night that I was like, ugh, I'm done.
But now it's like, you can take me up there because I've never been there.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, oh, dude, come over here and look at all this shit. And then come over here and look at all this shit.
Oh, just wait.
Go over there and look at all that shit. And right. I'm like, oh, my God, there's shit everywhere.
just wait because in June is Sweetwater Gear Fest.
Yeah, and you were telling me a little bit about that. Yeah. And I definitely want to check that out.
That'll be the next time I'm up there.
Cool.
And I will definitely take you or whoever and or whoever else wants to go. I think Joe said he'll go.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, Gear Fest, it's awesome. All the vendors and different companies come and show off their fucking products, and there's tons of like seminars and gear demos, and there's people from the industry there. Like last year I met Glenn Fricker from SMG Studios, and I follow his YouTube channel. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah, it was a good time. I went up alone. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. But Yeah.
Well, the good thing about doing stuff like that alone is it's I think it's how do I want to put it? It's more of a like down to earth experience because
it can be,
because
yeah.
what you're doing is not muddled by either having to cater to anybody else or make sure that anybody else, because I'm the type of person that if I take somebody somewhere, especially if they've never been, I want to go out of my way to make sure that they're enjoying something that I'm also super enjoying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at times that can be very draining and not fruitful. You know, we've all tried to introduce our friends to shit and they're just like, I'm not into this, bro.
Boy, I took Joe up there and he was just like in awe.
Well, Joe's somebody who's musically inclined and actually has, you know, a reason to go up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was just in complete awe. Like, we saw, like, I told him, we were still on the interstate. Mm-hmm. Like, once you get up there, there's like a 5-minute jaunt on the interstate to get there. And we were about to hit our exit and I said, oh, hey, look, there it is. And I pointed at that. He's like, damn. And then we got off the road. We got off the interstate and got closer to it. And he's like, holy shit, this place is fucking huge.
Well, especially for him, you know, his family owns the music store, which is not, I mean, in comparison to most of the big franchises places, it's very small.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go into 10 guitar centers in your life and they're all the same. They're all laid out the same. They've all got the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've obviously never been in Sweetwater, so I can't comment about that. But I have been really in things that are similar.
Like,
so
they have the store portion of it, which is pretty big, about the size of your typical Guitar Center.
Okay.
But there's way more. Like, for one, they've got a giant warehouse with everything that they have on their website is in that web. In warehouse. Then they have there's an actual recording studio in there.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's places for first of all, before I even get into more of that shit, there's a whole cafeteria.
Really?
Like, with
so they've got their own fucking food court.
Oh yeah, we went in there and they were having somebody was having a birthday party for like their kid. It was the weirdest shit, but like, yeah, it was cool.
Hey man, you coming to the quinceañera?
It's kind of like our cafeteria at work.
Yeah,
like,
we're having it at Sweetwater. The music store.
But their cafeteria is like ours at work, where there's like several different places you can get different types of foods from. There's a drinking fountain court.
A bubbler court.
Oh, there's a bubbler court up there, and that's pretty close up north to, you know, the great north.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
There's like an arcade area.
God damn.
They had a putt-putt green.
Hell yeah.
There's so much there. And on top of that, there's like places for people to take classes.
Is there a place I can take a nap?
More than likely.
Hell yeah.
More than likely.
Sometimes you just got to get a good nap in.
It's just absolutely huge. And the people there are so, so knowledgeable.
So it's the opposite of every experience I've ever had inside of a Guitar Center.
Yes.
Okay.
For the most part.
So
yeah.
Real quick, my cousin, Sean, out in California, has been involved in the Guitar Center franchise for a long time. Mm-hmm. Was like a GM or a district manager for a lot of years. And I have never, other than dealing with him, you know, I have never had a good experience in a Guitar Center.
I mean...
And I'm a music idiot.
Yeah.
I can't play an instrument. I can play the piano a little bit, but I'm not artistically inclined any way, shape, or form. And I know more than most Guitar Center employees. So, which is really, really sad.
There's a Jared Dines video where he's like, he's portraying a Guitar Center employee.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what you have to deal with when you go into the Guitar Center. And like, he's like, oh yeah, let me transfer you to this department. And they transfer. Oh yeah, let me transfer you to this department. Oh, mm-hmm. There's like five different.
It's just a never ending transfer.
Yeah. And then there's like, it's like, oh yeah, we can, you should buy this. I know you want that, but you should buy this. And it's like this $5,000 guitar.
Right.
It's like, what's a capo? Capo.
Right.
We were having a sale on capos. It's a funny ass video. I liked it.
I'll have to check it out.
They went to this place, this local music store called The Music Store. And they let him film in there. They actually eventually had to change the name of the video to, I can't remember what, they changed it to like Music Store Employees.
Because Guitar Center threw a fit?
I don't think they threw a fit, but I think they just didn't want to catch flack for it or something like that. I don't know. It's been a while. It's been about a year or so since that video, or since the last time I saw that video.
Right.
But no, Sweetwater. So I had this most recent visit, I had one employee that was like kind of an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always one. No matter where you go, there's always one.
I got a new toy. We're looking at it right now. The camera can't see it, but I got a Behringer X-Touch, which is a external control surface. Basically, it helps me. It gives me like a physical thing to, you know, mess around with the faders and stuff like that on my DAW, which is Reaper. And so I just asked. I was staring at this thing. Guy came in. He's like, "Hey, can I help? Do you guys need any help?" We had like a million people ask us if we needed help or anything. And occasionally I'd be like, "Yeah, I run a podcast. I asked about mics. And then I asked about this thing, and I was like, "Yeah, I run Reaper. Is it going to be a good match?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I think Behringer owns Reaper." And in my head, I'm like, "No, they don't. Fuck off. Okay, I'm done with this guy." But he just kept talking to me, and I kept humoring him.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." Behringer, as far as I know, does not own Reaper, which Reaper is a product of Kakos.
The more you know.
The more you know. I don't think Behringer owns Kakos. He's like, "Oh, yeah, they work really well with Reaper." Okay.
All right, dude. Thanks.
But, yeah, anyway, enough about Sweetwater. This is a Valentine's Day episode. This is going to be a shorter episode, as we don't really want... I don't want to keep Tyler from his wife too long tonight. My girlfriend Miranda, she's coming over with her children. And
I don't want to keep you from your pseudo-family.
Well, they're not pseudo.
It's not officially your family.
It's not officially my family, but you know, I feel like it is.
I'm not taking anything away from that.
Good.
Legally and on paper, it is not your family.
No, it is not. I can't wait for it to be, though.
I'm excited for that day, too.
I told you the other day, I was like, "I'm going to marry this girl."
I told you we should go on, you should have a destination wedding so I get to go on vacation.
She would love that, but I just don't think it's feasible.
I kind of want
my wedding to be here in town locally so people can actually come.
Well, no, that's why you go have the wedding. A really low-key, like, personal experience.
I don't want that.
And then you have a fucking rager when you get back in town.
Oh, yeah. I want that for sure.
Well, yeah.
But I don't want, like, a super small personal wedding. I kind of want, like, at least 30, 40 people there. Maybe 50.
All I got to do is buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, but I don't want to hassle people with that. I want people to feel it's a convenience to go to my wedding.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
I wanted people to view my wedding as an inconvenience and not as many people go. So stay away. There's a plague.
Oh, my God. So on my way home, I stopped and got gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop. I know I still have a ton of beer at home, but I'm just going to stop at the liquor store anyway, see what they have, and maybe get some more Anti-Hero.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there and I'm just looking. I look at the 450 North stuff first. They still have Starburst and they have this other thing. I think
this is at 350 Liquors.
Yes.
Okay.
They have Starburst.
That's the one I don't like.
Starburst?
No. 350 Liquors.
I like 350.
I like Liquors. I like the Barberries that's down the street. The bigger one.
Really?
The newer one.
See.
Part of the reason I like that one is when it first opened in high school, there was a. Indian guy that worked in there that sold me beer when I was underage.
Yeah.
So I started to get a rep with this place.
Okay.
So all throughout my underage years, I could go in there and buy beer because I thought I was like 28 years old when I was like 16. But so I was always the dude that bought beer for parties and shit. But he got fired because of me going in there and buying beer, I think.
You ruined his life.
I ruined his liquor store career.
Yeah.
But for what I buy, they have... So part of the reason I don't like 350 Liquors is the beer that I primarily drink, Tecate. They only have it in bottles. And I'm very anal about beers being consumed a certain way. PBR should not be drank out of a bottle. Tecate should not be drank out of a bottle. That shit should be fucking drank straight out of the can. The aluminum and the rat shit and all the stuff. It's a part of the heritage.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes best for me. I think there's certain beers that taste different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like a lot of beers on tap. Because of all the extra carbonation.
Yeah. I prefer Budweiser out of a bottle.
See, Budweiser's one of the ones that I'm a can dude. I do. Budweiser's probably my favorite beer to drink on tap. Because the extra carbonation just makes me feel that much more shit-faced. But
so I go to 350 Liquors today, and I'm mostly just going in there just to see what 450 stuff they have.
So they regularly have a large amount of 450 stuff.
I wouldn't say a large amount, but they have 450 items.
Which I have seen nowhere else, so maybe I'll go check that out.
So I go in there. They have Starburst, which is not bad, but it's not my favorite.
Would I like it?
Probably not.
Going off of everything that I've had from 450 North, probably I've loved.
Probably not. It's more like it's more of an IPA.
Okay.
They had that and another one, which I can't remember what it was called, but I was like, can't remember what it was called or what kind of beer it was, but I immediately recognized what kind of beer it was, and I was like, I don't think I'm gonna like that, so I just moved on, and I started going over to the Anti-Hero, and I just happened to, out of the corner of my eye, glance over, and I see a whole row of six packs of Zombie Dust.
How many did you buy?
I bought one. One six-pack and a six-pack of Anti-Hero.
Okay.
I've had a lot of luck with Zombie Dust lately, because about a month ago, the night we recorded the Cards Against Humanity episode, the one with Austin, my girlfriend Miranda, I asked her if she could pick up some beer when she got off work. So she went over, I assumed she was going to go to 350 Liquors because it's literally right beside where she works.
Right. Yeah, she could walk there.
She could have. Instead, she went to Barberry because she went to Barberry.
It is a nicer liquor store as far as
that. I've been in there and I didn't like the selection of craft beer, so I stopped going there. But she went in there and she's like, what do you want? I was like, well, I would like some Anti-Hero and Floyd Division 4, if they have it.
Okay.
And so she goes, they don't have either of them. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I was like, where did you go? She's like, Barberry. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Why didn't you go to 350? Because who's Tom Goley? Do you know Tom Goley? Hi, Tom Goley. Barberry just sounds more girly. Ha. Huh. Anyway, she goes to, I was like, why didn't she go to 350? It's like literally right beside. She considered that backtracking. She's like, I didn't want to go there and then have to go back. I'm like, you literally work right beside it. Whatever. Anyway, so she's like, they have Zombie Dust. And I'm like, get it. Get it.
Buy it all.
She says they have like 3 to 4 cases of it.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, cases? Holy shit.
Did she mean six packs?
Yeah, she meant six packs.
Because I've heard you recount stories to me where she says there's cases of Zombie Dust, and it's like there's six packs. But there's a difference.
So I was like, yeah, go ahead, get one, get at least a six, or get a case. I'll pay you back. She's like, no, I can only get a six pack. So I was like, okay, that's fine.
Real quick, I love Tom Goley's comment. Get a new girlfriend if she doesn't know where you get your hipster beer. Or where to get your hipster beer. Alrighty.
Yeah. So she gets it for me. And then like later that night, I was like, I still want the Anti-Hero. I still want the Floyd Division.
Did you go out?
So we went back. And I was, and before we even got to 350, I was like, well, she bought a six pack. I wonder if they still have any.
Uh-huh.
So, because if so, I'll go in there. Because most places, they'll only let you buy one six pack per person.
Right.
So I went in there and I saw a whole row of Zombie Dust. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
So I picked up a case. I went to the back, see what else they had. was I didn't see anything. So before I get to the cash register, I'm like, I'm going to try it. I grabbed another six pack. So I tried getting two.
They let you buy it?
They did. She's like, the cash register lady, she's like, I don't know. Should I let you get two? And I'm like, that's up to you. I'm not going to be mad if you say no, because you're just doing your job, but I'm still going to try it. She's like, well, normally I don't, and I'm not supposed to, but whatever. Like, you still got plenty over there.
Good job, liquor store lady.
So I got it. I got it. Got in the car. We still went to 350 Liquors because I wanted the anti-hero in Floyd Division.
Did you buy more zombie dust there?
No, they didn't have it there.
Oh, shit.
They had it in bombers. Or not bombers, but single bottles. But yeah, I went ahead and bought the Floyd Division and anti-hero. And that was the night that I got the Starburst from 450 North.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, I like 450 North. I'm going to give this a try. I actually texted Nick Max in A Brews with Dudes. I texted him. I was like, hey, would I like this? He goes, I can see you liking that. So I'm like, okay, I'll get it. So I got it, got all that. I ended up spending like $60 on beer that night.
Which isn't hard to do.
No, especially, I have most of it still here. That's why. So today when I saw the zombie dust, I'm like, eh, fuck it. I'll just go ahead and get it. I mean, I have a fuck ton of it still at home, but whatever.
Right. But
who knows when I'll be able to get a chance like this again. So, right. Because I don't go to liquor stores that often.
I can honestly say I haven't been in a liquor store since maybe September.
Yeah.
I don't drink at home.
I typically don't, but today I was like, fuck it.
Well, my wife and I'll have some wine. In the summer, now, the one caveat to me saying I don't drink at home, during the summertime, I cook a lot of meat on my smoker, and I'm outside, especially on my deck, all day long. And if I'm outside smoking something, I will get absolutely shit plowed.
Yeah.
And then everyone will consume this glorious feast that I've created, and I won't even be hungry because I'm so drunk. But that's not a bad way to spend the summertime.
Hell no, it's not.
So, I have a beer fridge now that's completely empty, mostly due to the fact that the winter and my garage weren't very kind to it, so I got to do some tinkering with it. I got to get one of those refrigerator insulators that bolts to the bottom and then keeps the compressor warm enough to actually run the refrigerator during the wintertime.
Yeah.
But that beer fridge will be stocked this summer.
Awesome.
But
thank you, Nate Phillips. He keeps saying congrats on it. I'm guessing for our 25th episode.
We were going to get to your comments, Podfather. It was just going to take a minute.
Yeah.
We were on a segue tangent thing.
Mr. Nate Phillips says congrats, I'm assuming on episode 25.
I like how he said it too, because when I read his last comment there, I'm reading it in my voice.
Yeah, he says, congrats, you fucks, do you see this?
Because that's that you fucks is something I say all the time.
Same here. I say it quite frequently, especially at work.
That and piece of shit are probably the two things that you and I say the most.
Hey, Baxter, you piece of shit.
Fat piece of shit.
Fat piece of shit. See, my cat's not that fat, but he is.
Well, see, it's not even the fat. Like, I totally agree with you. He's got a very small frame, but his gut is almost dragging the ground.
Yes.
So it's not even that he's fat. It's just that it's like.
He didn't balloon out. It's just it hangs.
Yeah. He's got the pimp hang. That's what I'm going to call it. That's what I'm coining the phrase.
Hell
pimp
yeah.
Hang. So this is a Valentine's Day episode. We're talking about fat cats. We're talking about beer.
Yeah. We're talking about music stores.
Talking about music stores. Before we get into Valentine's Day, real quick, I do want to say send a short, sad message in some form to the Florida community right now, because just a couple hours ago, there was a school shooting at a high school in a town just north of Miami. Many people wounded. They're saying around 20 people sadly killed. This is tragic. And I don't watch the news very often. I don't look at the news on my phone. I've tried to really turn myself off from mainstream news. I mean, I don't even watch our local news most of the time. And I just happened to catch it when I got home from work right away. And it's really sad. Shit like this shouldn't happen. You know, whatever your stance on gun control is, whatever your stance on mental health is, the root of this problem is not one thing, and it's fucked up.
It is.
For someone to walk into a school and shoot teenage kids.
Right.
It's fucked up.
And, you know, I said it a little bit ago when you told me this before we started, you know, this goes out to all the people that were, like, all hitting on Obama and saying it was a government conspiracy, like Sandy Hook and shit. Sandy Hook, oh, it's a government conspiracy. They're just trying to tighten gun control laws.
That's not entirely unwarranted, but I don't disagree with you.
See, and this happens under the Trump presidency.
It happened.
This isn't like against any certain presidency. I'm not trying to advocate one or the other. I'm just saying, hey, quit looking at this as a government conspiracy or saying, or, oh, thanks, Obama. This wouldn't have happened under a Republican. Well, guess what? It just did.
Here's the sad thing.
It has nothing to do with that. It's fucking psychos.
This is a case of somebody who is extremely off mentally. Yeah. And the sad thing is that our government sees this. The media feeds off of it. The government feeds off of it to lobby and push whatever agenda they want to push. For anyone to say our government isn't capable of doing something like that is naive, because there's not a major world power in the world that is not full of people that walked into that school and shot those kids today.
Yeah,
they're pushing an agenda. All they care about is their agenda. But I didn't want to get into politics. I just wanted to send.
Yeah, I get you. I just had to say something.
Right. No, I don't. Like I said, I don't disagree with you, but there's caveats to everything.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, like, I'm not saying it's impossible, but, like, I'm just not a big believer in conspiracies.
No, I feel you.
I'm not. I don't. As much as people were like, oh, yeah, the government conspired and did all this. They plotted this and it's all them. And I'm like, I don't think it's impossible, but I just really think you're reaching. A lot of people have a tendency to reach.
It's not impossible. It's highly improbable to the most regular people. So, but yeah, I just wanted to say something real quick because it's a tragedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's unfortunately it's something that you and I, being in our late 20s, we're gonna have to experience this for the rest of our lives. And it as a parent, and you know, you with Miranda's kids and eventually your own kids, it's something that we have to think about as parents.
It is.
Because it's no matter where you're at, it's a real thing.
It is.
So
for sure.
But going into the Valentine's cast, my wife kindly, I'm gonna stand up and show it for everybody on the Facebook feed. My wife got me a t-shirt, and I told you when I first showed it to you, my wife has, like, been on her A-game the last 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Star Wars is obviously one of my favorite things in the world, but she has found, at Target, of all places, just a badass line of t-shirts that they release every so often, and they're really cool things. So the first one she got me was, like, Boba Fett, and it was all 80s'd out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, like, really vibrant and had all the really weird neon colors from the 80s. And then the one that she got me for Valentine's Day is a Stormtrooper and all kinds of Empire stuff, but it's in the style of Van Gogh's Starry Night.
Yes.
So I'll show that. I'll stand up and show that to the group chat. But, you know, and the cool thing, these t-shirts are not expensive. And you know how expensive t-shirts can get.
They
can. You know, there's people out there paying. Well, there's people out there that are paying $50 for t-shirts.
Yeah,
that's just stupid.
That's like concert prices,
right? But it makes it even cooler that, you know, it was cheap, and my wife knows that I love Star Wars, and she went out of her way to find it. So, but I'll stand up and show everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shirt's awesome. My girlfriend, she's been pretty on point getting shit too. Like, I wouldn't say she's on point getting things that I, like, love, and she knows exactly. I mean, she does a really good job of that, but, like, just the fact that she does it.
Yeah, she has gone out of her way to get you a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
The last couple months.
And on top of that, she, like, she does things like she'll cook for events and stuff. And mm-hmm. she'll bake and cook for events. Like she makes the most amazing buffalo dip, which we got to all experience on the drunk caster feed.
My wife also makes it, so that's something that we eat in our household regularly.
Fuck yeah. My girlfriend, she got me a really awesome gym bag, and which I've needed desperately for a while, and a bunch of different miscellaneous like Powerade and shit like that, which, you know, like little things like that. But and she does this not just for special occasions; she does this on just to do it. Mm-hmm. Like when I got Monster Hunter, she made me like a weekend survival.
Yeah, she
kit.
Did the little care package.
Yeah,
thing.
A little weekend survival care package, like that had like chips and muffins and. Some Powerade and Red Bull, and it's just like the little sentimental stuff, you know. I love it. I love what she does. She does an awesome job. But yeah. So going into the Valentine shit. Talk about your wife. Let's hear about your loved, the one you love, the one you decide to spend the rest of your life with.
Are we going all the way back to the beginning?
If you want.
I mean, I can condense it.
You condense it, and I want to know at what point were you like, I'm gonna marry this girl? Like, what led you to that decision? And yeah,
okay. I met my wife my senior year of high school. The first day of school, I'm sitting in what is called MAV TV, so it's the broadcasting news media class for the school, and they have like a full news team and do all the sports editing and all the cool shit for the school. And like every Friday we had like a newscast that we would do during the day. Mm-hmm. And I had wanted to do that class since I was a freshman, and you weren't allowed to do it until you were at least a junior, and then my schedule never lined up. You know, I was in AP everything, so I was trying to prepare myself for college.
Uh-huh.
And I hated school anyway, so I never had time. And then my senior year, I had moved my schedule around to where I just had basically 6 of the 8 hours that I was there where I just got to fuck off.
Yeah.
And whether that was the intention or not, that's what I was doing, was just fucking off. But I got into MAV TV, and I'm sitting in class and I'm talking to people, and there was a lot of underclassmen in that class period that I had, and it was a couple hour long class, so we were with these people for a long time every day. But I'm sitting there and I'm talking to people. I was very personable in high school. I talked to everybody. I was also a little bit of a bully. Mm-hmm. So we got disconnected.
Oh boy.
But so I'm sitting there talking to somebody, and the bell hasn't rang yet, and all of a sudden, this little 4'11" girl walks into class, and she's got, like, cheerleading stuff on, like a cheerleading jacket,
because
it was ice cold for her, I guess, in the school, and I'm like, who the hell is that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm interested, but at the time, I had a girlfriend, so over the course of the next 6 months, I get to know the young girl who is now my wife. She had a boyfriend. I had many girlfriends in that 6 months. And over that 6 month time, I convinced her to leave her boyfriend and come to the dark side, which was me. And
I embody the dark side.
Sadly enough, for her anyway, she has been with me ever since. We started dating, and it's actually really funny. Right before Christmas break, so December 18th of 2009, I wrote her a poem because at the time I really wanted to get into writing, and that's what I was going to go to college for. So I wrote her a poem, basically asking her to be my girlfriend, and she read that poem, and she looked at me with like this really blank, like scared face. And she's like, oh, that's cool. And I was just crushed. But so she read the poem and she didn't understand it. It right over top. Didn't get it. Like the class had two teachers. So one of the teachers it was one of those classes where we were really close with the teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they would let us, like, leave and go get food, and then we would come back, and they'd be like, you're not supposed to leave, you know?
Yeah.
But
wink, wink, wink.
Yep. So she walks over, and I was like, I wrote her this, and she didn't understand it. And mind you, Skylar's still sitting there.
Yeah.
And I handed it to her, and my teacher read it, and she's like, oh, my God, this is so nice. And she looks at Skylar, and she looks at me. She looks at Skylar and she looks at me and she handed me the poem back and then she just walked away. And I was like, I was like mortified again. I don't know what to do. So, all those many years ago, we've stuck together through all the difficult.
And that's awesome. I mean, that was damn near 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
She, thanks to her, I got to go to 5 proms.
She was a freshman?
No, she was a sophomore when we started dating. Okay. So I went to 3 proms with her, and then I had also been to 2 proms previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 total proms. I'm a prom expert. I don't ever want to go to another one. Hopefully I don't.
I was good after I only went to my senior prom.
You lucky bastard.
It was on the Madame Carol, which is this... you know what the Madame Carol
is? Yeah, I know what the Madame Carol is.
Okay, for those listening that don't know what the Madame Carol is, the Madame Carol is a big-ass boat that goes on Lake Freeman,
It's like an old wheelboat type.
Yeah, it's on Lake Freeman or Schaefer, whichever one of the fucking lakes up in Monticello, Indiana. And it just takes people out. It's got a ballroom floor.
It's like a party boat.
It's a party boat. It's a giant party boat. It's really classy.
It's a giant historical party boat.
Yes. And we had our prom on that boat.
I'm surprised.
That was really cool.
You're a year older than me, but I'm surprised that in our lifetime that a school would allow that. Because how many people could have fallen overboard and drowned?
Right.
You know, like we're in the age where we have to have a waiver and you know, that kind of shit for everything now.
Mm-hmm.
All the proms that I... Well, 4 of the 5 proms that I went to were in the press box at Ross-Ade Stadium for Purdue.
That's neat.
So, it was a really cool setup. I mean, prom's one of those high school experiences that everyone should have.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I had 5 of them. So.
Yeah, the next prom I went to was... 6 years ago. I was engaged.
Right.
I went to her senior prom with her.
Okay.
And that was the next time I went to prom. And so I went to Jeff High School prom. Not fun.
No.
Upon entering the building, I was immediately like, hey, we've got word that you've been drinking. I mean, I was 20 at the time.
Right.
We've got word. We got a tip off that you... have been drinking. And I'm like, really? No one here knows me but my fiance. Literally no
one. They breathalyze you?
No. They're like, have you been drinking? I'm like, no, sir. I am 20 years old.
Yeah, at all McCutcheon proms, they breathalyze you before they'll let you in. But we're all, you know, McCutcheon was the first school in the nation to mandatorily drug test athletes and people who drove to the school. So, a lot more strict. But anyway, back to my wife's long story. So, after high school, I just kind of stuck around. Originally, I was going to go into the military, and I had a lot of family shit going down, so I decided to put that on hold. I would go to college instead. I'm a college dropout. She stuck with me through that, and... all the family drama that I've had over the last decade, which is a shit ton, she's been there the whole time. Her family at first fucking hated me.
Yeah.
And I really don't even know why. I think it's just my attitude.
Possibly.
Yeah. That's probably just my attitude. I'm a very abrasive person and I like to talk a lot, but when I'm in an uncomfortable situation, I don't speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're around a bunch of people that don't normally talk anyway, it makes it that much worse because everyone is just staring at each other, which makes me a lot more uncomfortable. And then, you know, my anxiety flares up and then it's like, pass the potatoes. I hate you. You know, it's just anxiety driven outburst.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But fast forward, like 5 years into it, we did, or yeah, 5 years into it, decided to get an apartment together. And I knew way back to your actual question that you asked me, when did I know that I was going to marry her? Pretty much right out of the gate, because she was, out of all the girlfriends that I had in high school, which were a lot, she didn't try and tell me what to do, and she just let me kind of steer the ship.
Yeah.
And never once has she ever treated me like a bank, which is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I would gladly spend every last dime that I've ever made in my life on her, but I do not like people that expect it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Been there.
I'm not a bank.
Been there.
I'm not a chauffeur. I'm not your bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a dude here to hang out and have a good time. So, fast forward, you know, we got an apartment, did the whole apartment thing. That was miserable. We actually split up for a very short amount of time. And then, you know, not even enough to be relevant. And then I sought her back out, asked her to forgive me for being an idiot. And then we got a rental house. And then on Valentine's Day, 2 years ago, I asked her to marry me. And then pretty sure that day we made our child. And then, you know, fast forward 9 months and we've got a kid. We got married this past May. And it was actually really cool. Planning a wedding is extremely fucking stressful.
Yeah, I've been there.
And
didn't make it there, but
no, I've been but there. You understand. It's very fucking stressful. And she put up with my anxiety and all my stress. I am very organized. I have to have all my ducks in a row all the time, or it freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And she put up, and she is the complete opposite. She's very last minute for everything.
Yeah.
You know. So, we planned the wedding, and the whole time I wanted to give her this big grand spectacle. And she's like, well, I don't want to get married in a church. She's very anti-religion.
Really?
So I was like, cool, whatever. We'll do it outside. But we got to do it in the spring. I want to get married in the spring.
I'm not anti-religion, but I don't want to have a religious wedding. I'm not religious, and I don't believe in anything.
I was halfway raised Catholic, so
yeah.
If you've ever been to a Catholic wedding, it is like 3 minutes into the wedding, you're contemplating committing suicide.
Yeah, I've been to a Catholic wedding.
Yeah, so
I get you.
Anyway, so we planned this whole thing out, and you know, I wanted to have everything planned and paid for, so all we had to do is show up, and you know, not everything always goes to plan. Jesus Christ,
damn, you're getting blown up over there.
But like an idiot, I didn't put that on silent. But so we go all the way through the wedding, and you know, couples always do some kind of like binding ceremony,
mm-hmm.
where it's like they light a candle together, or they pour the sand in the jar. My badass wife and I did a shot,
nice,
to seal our wedding with my good friend Evan Mulvey, who was our ordained minister. So she did a shot of Patron, you know, I did a shot of Jägermeister like any young man raised in Germany would do. But, and then we just went and had a good time.
We're yeah.
raising a child now, living that dad life. Taxes. See, I know a lot of people that are terrified of getting married because it's, you know, it's this title. And as much as you and I don't claim it, we are millennials. And
we're millennials. I will admit that I'm a millennial,
but we don't like it because we're not retarded.
No,
but our generation has done so much shit to break down like walls that didn't necessarily need to be broken down. Like, all of a sudden now there's this stigma about getting married and what it does to you as a person. I'll tell you right now, getting married has changed nothing in my life.
I believe that.
Other than how I'm going to do my taxes on Saturday.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
It makes it, it actually has made my life easier. Now, when I go to the doctor, my wife can go pick up my prescription. So I don't have to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to be married. I can't wait to be married. It's one thing like I've always wanted, even like growing up as a teenager. Like I was never the type like you. All these stories I've heard from you, like I've never been one to just go out and hook up. I've never been one to just whore out, I guess. But like I've always been like a one girl at a time type person, and if I'm with a girl, like I'm with that person. It's kind of changed over the years. Now I'm more like, okay, I'm gonna talk to you, and if we fuck, we're gonna fuck. But as long as I'm just talking to you, and then we're gonna see where it goes.
Right.
But
well, we're getting old, Blaine.
We are, and you know, like it's so weird because like all these things that I've experienced these last 2 or 3 years. Were things that I should have experienced in my early 20s or right out of high school or even during high school.
Yeah.
And like I'm even starting to go because I didn't have like a rebellious phase in high school. I'm starting to get rebellious. Like I'm starting to question authority. I'm starting to
I've always been a dickhead.
Whenever someone tells me I need to do something that I don't want to do, I question it and I stand up to it. You might see it at work all the time.
All the time.
When Teresa, our team leader, tells me to do something, I'm just like, no.
Well, I've always had a problem with authority, and it's weird because I was raised in a military family, and I've had a problem with authority, I've always loved that structure, and it goes back to why I said I like to have all my ducks in a row. I like to have a schedule, you know, all this weird shit that I rebel against, but I love at the same time. But I got all that shit out when I was in. I got all that shit past me when I was in high school.
I was too focused on. I wanted to start my life.
Yeah.
I wanted to start a family. I wanted to get married, have kids young, because I didn't want to be an old dad.
Well,
my
plan is to have all of my kids before I turn 30. So
there you go.
And I told my wife not long ago, and this just goes to show how strong she is because she puts up with this shit. But I said, if I don't have a boy by the third one, I'm going to start having illegitimates. and you know, she does the like slap on the arm, like, oh, you. And I'm like, I'm not kidding. I'm going to have illegitimates. Because my dad's dad and I have traced our family all the way back to the beginning. And I can't be the one that lets, you know, 1,000 years of lineage die.
All right.
Because of my inability to produce a certain chromosome.
I'm right there with you to an extent. Like, I have to have a kid. I have to have a kid. I have to have a son because, like, I'm – okay. And I only go back to my grandfather on my dad's side. Like, I'm not going to trace back the lineage.
Went all the way back to the
beginning. Because there are other Tyner men who have produced grandchildren. Offspring. Male offspring. You know, there are people to continue the Tyner name. But I'm looking in terms of my grandfather's line.
Right.
Like, that's what's important to me. So, my grandmother and grandfather had 4 boys. Out of those 4 boys, my dad is the only one that's produced a male son, me.
Hell yeah.
So, it's up to me.
You're the prodigal son.
I am. It's all on me to make...
Yeah, same thing for me.
To produce a son. And keep it going, you know?
Well, my mom's family and my dad's family both only had 1 boy.
Yeah. Like, boys run in my family. My dad had 4 boys, or my dad is 1 of 4 boys. I am 1 of 4 boys. Hopefully it keeps going.
Right.
The only other birth on my dad's side is my cousin Bryn, a chick. She's a girl. That's the only other cousin I have on in terms of my grandpa's
line.
Wait,
did you just assume her gender?
She's a girl.
I saw the opportunity. I had to take it.
I get you. No.
But let's hear something about Miranda, because
I'll tell about Miranda.
You talk about all this cool shit that Miranda does for you all the time, and you know, when you introduced me to Miranda, which wasn't that long ago, I told you, like, I think the second time, like, you need to marry this fucking girl.
Yeah.
Because you are as difficult of a person to put up with as I am.
I can be. I'm
no. Very... See, right here is exactly what I'm saying. It's not that you can be. It's that you are. We are who we are. And she puts up with your shit. And that's not always a good thing. But in this case, it is a good thing because Miranda is a badass person.
Yes.
So shout out to you, Miranda. Shout out to my wife, Skylar. You're both badass people. And you're both super hot.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I met Miranda at a point in my life. So, okay, a year ago, I was single.
Living in a van down by the river.
No.
Okay.
See that tube over there? That is literally a poster of Chris Farley on a river with a van behind him.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing. It? No, that is mine. I can't wait to frame it. Anyway. So a year ago, I was single for 2 days. I broke up with my then girlfriend 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Okay. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it played off.
And it's funny because it's funny. It's not funny. She's great and all. And, you know, it just didn't work out. It was one of those high school crushes. I finally got a chance with it. Like, it's not that I finally got a chance with it. It's just like it kind of just fell right into my lap, you know, and like I tried it out and, you know, it just didn't work. It didn't work. So, and I always joked around. I said, yep, I'm going to trade you in for a new model before Valentine's Day so I don't have to deal with Valentine's Day. Turns out 2 days before Valentine's Day, like I just had enough and I had to end it. So I decided, and I wanted to end it, but I didn't want to end it before Valentine's Day because I didn't want to be a douchebag, but it just so happened to happen that way.
No.
And the reason I wanted to end it was because, like, it just wasn't... I wasn't connecting to her.
If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it.
I wasn't attracted to her. Not that she's unattractive, but I just wasn't attracted to her. We were not clicking. And on top of that, I wanted to focus on myself. I wanted to learn more. That's when I decided I wanted to learn more about mixing and producing music and whatnot, and I couldn't do any of that stuff because she demanded a lot of my time. Even when I was here, not with her,
right?
I had to be texting her constantly, and I'm an intro. When I'm at home, not in a social situation, I am an introvert.
I feel you.
Like when I am at home, I want to be left the fuck alone.
Yep.
And I could not get that. And it was draining the fuck out of me. It was stressing me the fuck out. And so I just ended it. So I spent the next... So I met Miranda in September. This was February. From February to September, I was single.
Okay.
May I have tried to attempt some hookups? Yes. I was talking to someone. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone. She lives in Florida. And that's like we talked very romantically, and that kind of kept me from pursuing anything here.
Okay,
which in turn helped me stay single. It helped me
continue to explore yourself.
Yeah, it allowed me to explore who I was. It allowed me to have the fun I wanted to have. It allowed me to get the knowledge and learning and experience that I wanted to have. I mean, or at least as much as I could, and. So like having that, cause I was mentally getting that I'm with somebody,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't with somebody.
Right.
So I didn't feel tied down. And on top of that, I was still getting that like, oh, I'm loved type feeling.
Right.
So when it came time and I had kind of given up on Tinder and dating websites, but I still had them.
Right.
And I literally put on my Tinder description that, message me first because I'm tired of fucking messaging people and nobody messaging back or it just going nowhere. So go ahead and message me first. I'll respond. Nobody ever messaged me. Nobody messaged me.
Womp, womp.
And finally, I got to a point where I wasn't actually, I was doing like Tinder based off of looks.
You were doing the mass swipe right.
Yes. If you look cute, right, like on site, swipe right. If you didn't, bye. Yeah. So I matched with Miranda. I saw a cute picture, I swiped right. I matched with her, and before I could even get a chance to really like go check her out, check out more pictures, see what her profile says, she messages me.
And so it begins.
And so we talk very briefly, and she adds me on Snapchat because I have my Snapchat in my description as well.
Okay.
So we talk very briefly on there. And like I'm not really going for it, but I'm not opposed to it. I'm being casual, but also in my head I'm like, well, I have plans with this person down in Florida, she's coming up here, I don't want to ruin that plan because that's something that I want to experience, and because she used to live up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got that I had always had feelings for her, and so here she was coming back up here to visit me. And I could finally maybe get some closure on that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, so I was kind of like, just kind of aloof with Miranda. And finally, like a week or two later, I just like, fuck it. I'll start talking to her more. So I started talking to her. And then like that Friday, I was like, yeah, I'm not really doing anything tonight. I might go out to the bar. I don't know. And then she said, oh, well, I'm going to go to the vault. And I was literally watching Wonder Woman. It had just come out on DVD or whatever. And I was watching Wonder Woman. And I was like, and she said, she was like, yeah, I'm going to the vault with my friend. I'm like, I had just gotten a pizza. I just started eating it. And I just like closed the box, turned off Wonder Woman, and went down to the vault. And I went down there. I didn't know if she was there already or not. So I'm friends with a lot of the bartenders down there.
So every time I've been to the vault with you, we've ran into a shit ton of people that we both know.
Oh, yeah. So I just go to the bar and I start talking to the bartenders. They're my friends. Whatever. Meanwhile, and then I see Miranda post a Snapchat story from the vault. And I'm like, I snapped her. I was like, I see me in the background. And
creepy as fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, hey, she knew I was coming.
Hey, I'm lurking over here.
She knew I was coming, and I knew she was going to be there. It's not that creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So I go down, or I go over to the sidebar, kind of, you know, because meanwhile, like, I'm scoping out the whole area trying to find this girl. Like, yeah, so I go over, talk to more people over there, and finally I notice her, and So after a while of being there, I finally just walk over and I'm like, hey, I introduce myself. And yeah, and then she's like,
hey, I'm Blaine.
Yeah. So I talk a little bit there, and then I go, and they're like, oh, hey, we're going to go to the end zone. I'm like, oh.
Mother of God.
Well, I'm just going to chill here. And then I start thinking, I'm like, you know what? The end zone's not far from my house. If anything, like I'll go there. I'll hang out a little bit. If I'm not feeling it, I'll just go home. So I go there. I really wasn't feeling it. I really wasn't feeling Miranda.
The end zone's kind of weird because it's either really a really, really good time or it's a really, really shitty time. Every time I've been in the last couple years, if you stay at the bar, it's not a bad time. If you go anywhere else, it's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So
I'm not really feeling Miranda.
I wasn't feeling her. I wasn't even really feeling her friend, but her friend seemed a lot sluttier. And I was like, well, if anything, I could at least take her friend home.
Right.
And then, so Miranda's over there or like dancing with a bunch of people, friends and stuff that she knew. And then she eventually just comes over to me. She's like, cause she felt bad that she basically told me to or asked me to come there and hang out.
And you
she
wasn't. Were you sitting at the bar moping?
No, I wasn't moping. I was just hanging out right. And trying to decide if I was ready to leave or not.
But if I walked in as a stranger and just like scoped the bar and looked at you, would you have been a guy that I said is moping?
No, I was mostly just hanging out on my phone trying to decide if I was going to go home or not.
Yeah, I'm moping.
It wasn't really like a loss for me. I was like, besides like, I could just go back down to the vault and maybe my friends will be there.
Right.
Or I could go home and continue watching Wonder Woman. I don't know. It was whatever. But so I stayed, and she ended up talking to me, and we ended up somehow ended up connecting over a Good Charlotte.
Okay.
She mentioned that she liked Good Charlotte, and I was like, I fucking love Good Charlotte. Like, that used to be like one of my favorite bands. And she's like, it's my favorite band. And she requested a song, and they played it, and we just kept talking a little bit. Like,
did you dance the night away?
No. She wanted to, but she ended up like she drank like a lot of shots, and she ended up getting like really drunk.
So she got wasty pants.
She got pretty wasted, and like I couldn't tell. She was keeping it together pretty well, but I eventually got to a point where I could tell she was kind of drunk, and I'm like, "Where do you live?" She's like, "Oh, I live here in this town that's 30 minutes away." I'm like, "Okay, I don't normally do this. I mean nothing by.
I am so not a raper."
And I said, "I mean nothing by this. Like, I'm not trying to come on to you or anything, but you were really drunk, and I live 5 minutes away. I think it'd be a good idea if you just came home with me. I'm not gonna do anything. Nothing's gonna happen. I just want to make sure you're safe." So she's like, "Okay." So we came back here. We got in my bed. She's like, went down to her underwear. She's like, I'm going to be comfortable. I hope you don't mind. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm a guy. You're a girl. I don't give a shit. You can be in your undies, whatever. So I pull up Deadpool. I just throw on Deadpool because she said she liked Deadpool. I'm like, fuck it. We'll watch Deadpool. And she ends up like in this position, like all night, like just hunched over because she is like miserable. She's like, I took too many shots. I'm like, Yeah,
you did.
So I'm like, I start rubbing her back. Like, I'm like, I got to do something to comfort her. That's just who I am. So that was the rest of the night. Woke up. She had to be back in town, back her hometown for her kids' soccer game at like noon or one or something like that. So I took her back to her van. That was that. Later that night at Jerry Lee's, there was a show. I think Catalytic and a couple other bands were playing, but there was also free bowling. So I was like, and before that, I mean, I still wasn't feeling it with her. It actually took me a minute to actually like, you know, like consider her. But I was like, "Hey, we're doing this tonight. Do you want to just come out?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." So she came out. I got to hang out and talk to her more. Because I did enjoy the conversation I had originally with her. So I was like, "Oh, we'll just keep going." And then so there's that. And then I eventually like invited her over. She wanted to watch The Crow. That's like one of her favorite movies, and I had never seen it. So I was like, "Yeah, well, come over and watch The Crow." And so we hung out there, and she came over, hung out here. I ended up holding her hand that night.
Oh yeah. If I were a Puritan, I would smite you.
We held hands that night because we watched like three movies. It was this new, okay. So we watched The Crow. That was okay.
It's a classic.
It was okay.
It's a cult classic. Yeah. It's not a very good movie, but no. It is a cult classic.
It's whatever. Then we watched Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And then we watched, I can't remember what it's called. It's an Adam Scott movie. It's the where he marries this woman, and her son is basically like literally the Antichrist.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's a Netflix movie. It's hilarious.
Adam Scott.
He's from Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. And later that week, we went and saw Simple Plan.
Yeah, which actually was originally supposed to be you and I's date.
Yes. And you still could have came.
That was going to be the first time that you and I were hanging out. And then you told me at work, you're like, "Yeah, this Miranda girl is going to go." And then I was like, "You son of a bitch."
So I went there, and you know, by that point I was feeling it. I was really enjoying her. I want to see where it went. So during the concert, we had our first kiss.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And we still talked for a little while. We talked for about a month before we actually officially got together.
Before coitus.
I wouldn't say a month before coitus.
I just wanted to say coitus.
Coitus is a fun word.
It's relevant.
So is cunnilingus and...
Analingus.
Analingus.
It's a lock-in traffic cone.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that? What?
Oh
shit.
You should look it up after the stream, because I don't want to put Facebook through the Slovakian traffic cone. Look it up at your own risk.
Okay. So I got a question for you.
Go ahead, lay it on me. Hit me, tube sock. You don't remember that?
No.
Remember the Skittles commercials when we were in high school? It's like an old man in his living room, and he's sitting in his recliner chair eating Skittles, and it was like this when the Skittles Sour first came out.
Yeah.
And this, he's like, hit me again, tube sock. And it's this giant tube sock, like, dragging its feet across the carpet. And then the guy sticks his tongue out, and the tube sock touches his tongue and shocks the fuck out of him. I've kept that thing alive for almost a decade.
Hell yeah. So, you and your wife.
Go ahead.
Do you guys have a song?
excuse me. I would, you know, my wife might get pissed because I don't really know the answer to this question, but I'm going to say no. And when we were in high school, or while she was still in high school, part of the reason I love my wife is she has the ability to listen to any music and enjoy it much like I do. And, you know, at the time I was listening to a lot of A Day to Remember and...
Hell yeah.
Breaking Bent, you know, all the good shit that I discovered in high school. You know, I would pick her up and take her to school every day, and I'd have Pantera on, or, you know, then the next day, I might have a little bit of old country, you know, some Garth on, and she just jammed out to it all and didn't really say anything. I was listening to rap a lot at the time, and throughout all, I mean, I'm sure somewhere in there's a song that we both really digged.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, our first dance at our wedding was some Elvis.
Very nice.
So I would say if we have a song, it's that one. Yeah. But
there's been, like, throughout my relationships, there's been a couple relationships where the song just sticks out and it's been easy to pick it. And then there's been relationships where it's like there's either no song or it's hard to figure it out. I mean, it's not like a whole necessary thing. Like,
right.
It's just sometimes cool to have, you know?
Yeah.
Miranda, she was asking me, like, she literally asked me the other day, like, what's our song? And I'm like, and I had something planned for this show.
Wait, and you're not taking your pants off, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not okay, taking my God. Pants off. Not. Maybe not. I don't know.
All right.
I haven't decided that yet. But no, I had something planned for this show, and I didn't really quite want to give it away for her. So, like, I just didn't say nothing. I was like, yeah, I don't think we have a song yet. Like, I got something in mind, but, like, and she's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then she suggested a song. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no, man.
Oh, hell no, man. But no, like, I remember early on, I did the cutesy guy thing, and, like, it's been a long time since I've really done these sort of things with a girl, because it's been a long time since I've had a girl that's really been worth the time, you know. But I sent some lyrics to a song, and she immediately responded and thought that I wrote those lyrics.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, that's from a song. Like, I didn't write that. I just thought they kind of applied. And so, like, That to me is our song. And it's song number 3. That's the name of it.
Okay.
By Stone Sour. It's not an older song. It's fairly new. It's at least a year old, somewhere in that range. And I want to sing it for the podcast and for the live stream. And once again, my heart starts pounding just like it was at the very beginning, because I'm like, I'm performing live, kind of.
Oh, God.
In front of Tyler.
I'm
and,
here.
And all you guys, all three of you that Facebook says is watching. I have lyrics up because I'm not too familiar with the second verse. But I figured if anything, it'll be there just in case. But we're going to go see them Sunday.
Which is cool.
Stone Sour Sunday at the Egyptian Room in Indianapolis. Very excited to see them. I've seen them twice before, but they were in, like, I saw them up at Tenley Park for the first Uproar Festival. And then last year I saw them with Korn at, it was Klipsch Wireless then, or Klipsch Yeah, it was Klipsch.
There's still people that call it Deer Creek.
I know. I call it Klipsch Creek Wireless.
Home Mortgage.
Home Mortgage Center. It's whatever. Oh my God, Miranda's been watching this whole time, and she hasn't said nothing.
My phone is about to die.
Oh, and she's not going to get to hear me sing our song, or what I consider our song. She'll probably agree after this. She'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Moist.
Moist. Indianapolis, Mr. Tom Goley, we are in Lafayette, Indiana.
About an hour north of Indianapolis.
Yep. Anyways, this is song number 3 by Stone Sour. And this is going to be like, it's really weird because like, I don't have music backing me up. It's just me singing.
But it's I could whatever. Hum.
Do you know the song?
No. I know no. the song. I don't know the...
Then you can fuck off, sir.
All right. I say good day.
I say good day. No, this is song number 3. I always enjoy like just singing without music sometimes, but I kind of wish I had music because it'd help with the pacing, but whatever.
Do you want me to play it real soft on my phone?
No.
All right. I'm just going to sit over here awkwardly.
And I'm just going to...
I'll turn my back if you want.
Awkwardly sing. Nerves are kicking in. I kind of wish I would have gotten another beer. You can watch, Tyler. It's okay.
I'm trying to help you.
It's okay. Well, the camera's still on me. Like, that's not going
to
help me.
You could just turn your back to it, too.
Anyway, so this is song number 3 by Stone Sour. This is, my opinion, Miranda and I's song. I love you, Miranda. This is our song. If you take a step towards me, you will take my breath away. So I'll keep you close and keep my secrets safe. No one else has ever loved me. No one else has ever tried. Never understood how much I could take. Then I saw the worst was over when I laid my eyes on you. It was all that I could do to know my fate. I fucked up a lyric, Tyler.
That's all right.
To know my place. Out of all the vast illusions, out of all the dreams come true, I was lost until I finally saw your face. And if I cried out for more, if you reached out for me, I would run into the storm. Just to keep you here with me, I have gone beyond my years. I've wasted half my life, but I found it all on you. Did I save you? Cause I know you saved me too. Now the second verse, which I'm not super familiar with. Where is it? Okay. This is weird. This is not how I planned this at all. Okay. Let me take a step towards you. Let me feel you in my hands. Let me cross this line and show you where it leads. There's a darkness down inside me that I know we'll both enjoy. And it's screaming from within to set it free. I have left this bloody nightmare in my wakeboard out of time. And I won this deviation by design. Out of all the past confusion, out of all the common spite, just tell me I am yours, cause you are mine. And if you cried out for more, if you reached out for me, I would run into the storm. Just to keep you here with me, I have gone beyond my years. I've wasted half my life, but I found it all on you. Did I save you? Cause I know you saved me too. It doesn't really matter what you do or say. I'm never going anywhere anyway. Cause when I'm dying for you, I've never felt so alive. And if you cried out for more, if you reached out for me, I would run into the storm. Just to keep you here with me, I have gone beyond my years. I've wasted half my life, but I found it all on you. Did I save you? Cause I know you saved me too. Yep, that's it. The nerves made me sing kind of improperly, so my voice is kind of hoarse now.
You sound beautiful.
Why, thank you. So originally when I had planned on asking Miranda to be my girlfriend, my plan was I was going to start a live stream for Podcastrophy.
Okay.
You know, just sit and talk and chat with whoever. And this was also like really early on in Podcastrophy's early days. So I was going to do the live stream, chat and all that, and while she was here, and just be like, hey, Miranda, come in here and bring her in here and just sing that to her. Because, like, at that point, she had never heard the song. She had only read the lyrics that I sent her in the text. Mm-hmm. And I only sent her, like, the first verse and the chorus. So my plan was to sing it to her and then ask her to be my girlfriend live on Podcastrophy Facebook. That never happened.
I'm glad you didn't do it that way.
Really?
Yep.
Why's that?
Because you should always do it in person.
Well, I mean, she was going to be here.
Oh, like, I thought you meant she was going to be watching.
No, she was going to be in the other room while I did my thing, and then I'd be like, hey, come in here. And then she'd...
Then you were going to do your thing.
Yeah. But that didn't happen because I was too chicken shit, and then so...
Well, you are a bitch.
Yeah. The other day, I hatched this plan.
I like it. I'm glad you didn't tell me about it.
I hatched this plan, and I was going to tell you and be like, hey...
Earplugs?
No, I was going to be like, hey, if I start backing out, make sure I do it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah. So.
Because you did it all by yourself. Boy now. Stop picking at your arm.
I'm not. I'm just.
You're nervous picking at your arm.
Fine. God, way to call me out. Jeez.
Leg cramp. I almost died just now.
But yeah, so that was song number three.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
He was a brave little guy.
It's crazy performing because I have zero issue getting in front of an audience on stage. I have zero issue with that. Karaoke, I get nervous as fuck.
I mean, you're singing somebody else's stuff, so mm-hmm. It's like I gotta do this justice.
Yeah.
And I gotta not suck. But I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, so
it has not. I don't think it has anything to do with like the material I'm singing. I think it's just the fact that, I guess karaoke, it's all on me. Like I don't have a band behind me. I'm the sole focus. With a band, here, it's just me.
Well, I would imagine it helps to have the white noise in the background.
It does. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah,
I could have went, or I could have made like drum sounds. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So
Tom Goley, I appreciate all the all the participation in the comments. Lots of today. Comment
participation from Mr. Tom Goley. I have no idea who you are. This is the first time I've seen you in my chat, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for participating in like all these comments. Like, wow, so many. We're actually running a lot longer than I thought we would.
20 minutes.
Yeah, I thought we were only going to run about an hour. And
I figured we had one more thing to wrap up and then we would wrap it up.
We have one more thing. I was asked by a coworker today to tell a story.
Do you want to tell the story or do you want me to tell the story?
You can tell the story.
Okay, I'll tell the story.
You tell the story. So hold on. Before we do that, this story involves a coworker's son. He is 7 years old. I don't know his name.
I don't either.
But this is him. Enjoy. This is. Try to imagine this little child in this story.
So our good coworker came up to me today, very beginning of the day, and he's like laughing hysterically to himself, and I'm like, "What's up, man?" And he says, so I was at the grocery store last night with my kid, and we're looking at like candy and all this weird stuff. And he runs up to me with this huge ass Hershey's Kiss. And the way he described it was like a Hershey's Kiss the size of my head.
Yes.
This is a big fucking Hershey's Kiss.
Well, first of all, he led into this story by telling me, so my kid's teacher, like, he keeps complaining to me that she's like, he keeps, or she keeps picking on him, and she's prejudiced towards him because he's Mexican and all this shit, and like, he's just, she's just not nice to him. He keeps complaining to her about, or complaining to me about.
He didn't tell me that until the end.
He told me first.
All right.
So go ahead.
So this guy's son runs up to him with this big ass Hershey's Kiss. And he's like, "Dad, can I get this?" And he's like, at first he would just, you know, as a dad, you're like, "No, you can't get that. It's a fucking like 2 pound Hershey's Kiss. You can't have that." And he's like, "Dad, I want to get it for my teacher." And he's like, "Why would you want to get it for your teacher? You say she's racist and she picks on you and, you know, all this prejudice stuff. Why would you want to get a giant like Hershey's Kiss Valentine's thing for her?" And he's like, "Cause I want that bitch to get diabetes and die."
Like, and you just don't expect that.
No,
shit.
Well, especially not from a 7-year-old
no,
kid.
No, not at all. That, yeah,
you can't make
nuts.
That shit up.
No, you can't. You really fucking can't. That's nuts.
But we have an image to go along with this.
Yeah, it's already up.
Oh, it's I didn't realize it'd been up the whole time.
I've already thrown it up. It's good to go.
So this is our young hero of the story.
Mm-hmm.
With a message to his teacher, I would imagine.
"I hope she gets diabetes and dies.
I hope she gets diabetes and
like,
dies."
Like, that's fucking, wow.
That's strong.
That's something I would say.
Something we would say.
Yes. Yeah, that's the story. He wanted us to tell that, and I was very happy to oblige.
Hell yeah. It makes it even better that we've got the image.
Oh, definitely. He wanted to make sure we had the image. He sent it to me so we could put it
up. For the people listening that don't get to see this image, it is a young Hispanic boy flipping off the camera,
mm-hmm,
with this very exasperated look on his face.
Yes.
And it is glorious.
It's, yeah. Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so are there any final thoughts you have?
Yeah, before we do the plugs and fully wrap up, I just want to shout out again to Skylar and Miranda,
yes,
for not everything that they have done for us in the past and continue to do for us, but for putting up with this podcasting life that we're, this,
oh, yeah,
journey that we're going down, because it's definitely not family friendly a lot of times, and we have to do shit late at night and take time out of our days,
yeah,
to do this fun thing that we like to do. And you two get a gold star for being badass.
Definitely. And putting up with it.
Well, not putting up for it, or not putting up with it, but supporting it.
Yeah, Miranda's definitely put up with it, because like, there's been a couple times, like, we went up to Chicago and I did a podcast with I did an episode of Podcastrophy with my friends Matt and, mm-hmm, Felipe, and we were up there to see the
Christmas lights
and stuff, and we didn't get to because we ran a little long on that. We ran a little long the night before. It was just we spent a lot of time podcasting, doing things I wanted to do, and we didn't get to do the things that she wanted to do.
Right.
Had it not been so blistering cold.
Well, you were in Chicago in,
yeah,
December.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I knew. But like, it was just blistering cold.
You
and,
bastard.
Like, we could have, if it wasn't so blistering cold, I would have been like, "Hey guys," because we were walking around hopping bars, and I just got to a point where I was like super tired and I didn't want to be in the cold, and I said, "All right, we're going home." Had it not been that cold or that windy — it's the Windy City, so it would have always been that windy.
Right.
But I would have been like, "Hey guys, go on home. We'll get an Uber. We're gonna go check out the lights." But it was fucking cold and I didn't want to walk around Chicago anymore.
Right.
So we went home. She was pretty upset. It's like the first time I've actually seen her upset, and upset about, like,
did she beat the shit out of you?
And upset because of me. No, she didn't beat the shit out of me. She should have, yes. But yeah, and I felt bummed about that, and I still owe her for it, which I will make it up to her. But yeah, that she puts up with it, and on top of that, she is super supportive of it. She's great. I love her. She's love of my life. I'll admit it. Say it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, man. But yeah, that's all I've got to say.
That's all I've got to say.
So, for those watching and listening, if you haven't already, please, you can get Podcastrophy by subscribing to Journey into Comics on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, plus more. There's more out there. I don't know what they are, but those are the main ones that we do. If you subscribe to Journey into Comics, you get Podcastrophy. You get Journey into Comics. You get Journey into Wrestling, Voice of Survival, Butt Stuff, The Poor Rapport, Brews with Dudes.
Did I Literature.
Say Literature. Did I say Journey into Wrestling already?
No.
Journey into Wrestling.
We are so bad at plugs.
Oh, my God. I know. Because there's so many. We have so many shows.
That's why I said we need to do them at the beginning.
We do. We will. And then separately on a different feed, you have the Game Addicts podcast. Still part of the Journey into Comics network. But it's
doing their own awesome
thing. They're on their own thing. So subscribe to Journey into or Game Addicts podcast if you're into video games. They're great. We've done some stuff with them. But yeah, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/journeyintocomics. For $1, you get early access to all of the shows as soon as they are edited and ready to go. For $3, you get bonus content. And right now, we are doing The Road to Infinity War. Every week, in order, we are doing a review of a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie in order up until Infinity War. So this week, I think today, dropped Iron Man 3. Tyler and I and any other guests that may join us, we are going to we're Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange.
Correct.
So coming up here pretty soon, we have Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you want to listen to that, pledge $3 to our Patreon, and you get to hear me and Tyler talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. And on top of that, all the other hosts of the network talk about their respective movies that they got.
And other cool shit.
Yeah, and plus more. That's not the only bonus content that's up. It's not the only bonus content we're going to have. There's going to be more. Please. It helps us out. It allows us. It pays for hosting. It pays for possible trips because the whole network isn't all based in Lafayette. Some of us are up north, about 2 hours away. So it helps get gas down to drive down here. It helps get gas for us to drive up there. It helps us get to things like Comic Con and Gen Con and all the cons. So
we have a big list of stuff that we want to check out, not just as a network, but Blaine and I specifically with Podcastrophy, and $1 a month would go towards helping us give you guys some really cool content.
Oh yeah, definitely. And like I said, that's completely optional. Either way, you're going to get Podcastrophy for free every Thursday on all of the podcasting platforms like Stitcher Radio, Podbean, our home-based Podbean, iTunes, Spotify. You're going to get Podcastrophy every Thursday. And we are live on Facebook, hopefully some other media here soon, every Wednesday, generally around 6 p.m., so Indiana time. So join us every Wednesday.
We're also getting our feet wet with the Twitch streaming stuff. Tuesdays are our tentative dates for those. Check us out at Podcastrophy on Twitch and Finnegan_McNasty. Right now we're doing a lot of Monster Hunter stuff.
Yep.
We've both put like 80 hours plus into Monster Hunter. It's kind of consumed our life. But check out our streams. You get to see cool stuff from two different angles. And
I was telling you the other day, like, my new gimmick, since I'm not a chick and I don't have giant tits, my gimmick to be a slutty Twitch streamer is I'm just going to spread my legs really wide while wearing gym shorts and or boxer briefs.
You need to do, like, the classic, like, nut huggers like an old gym teacher would wear.
I can do that.
Hell yeah.
I can do that. Yeah, so if you want to watch me play Monster Hunter in my boxers, spreading my legs quite wide, and occasionally touching my junk, not in a sexual way, but just in like a fidgety, like, I gotta touch my junk real quick type way. Hit up Podcastrophy on Twitch.
I am so not a raper.
I am so not a raper. But is that all you got, Tyler?
That's all I got.
That's all I've got. Remember, folks, this is podcast. If you check us out every Wednesday on Facebook Live at 6 p.m. generally, and every Thursday on all the podcasting platforms like Spotify and Podbean and iTunes. If that is all, that is all. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Please make every day a big dick day.
Heritage.
Bye, guys. Big Dick Day! Gonna be a Big Dick Day!